Tracking the fallen shuttle debris began almost as soon as the Columbia exploded in the skies above Texas. People began calling their local emergency services as fragments of tile and metal pounded into a part of Texas known for its impassable brush and sharp mountain ranges. Within hours, the search was being directed from a command center in Austin, where officials are relying on the latest technologies. NPR's John Nielsen reports.
In a nuclear bomb-proof shelter 30 feet below the streets of Austin, Jack Colley stares at a giant topographic map of East Texas. Colley is the state coordinator for emergency management. For the last 10 days, he's been working with NASA to coordinate a massive hunt for what's left of the shuttle.
You know, this has been a challenge in so many areas to gain control of this and understand the magnitude of it. We're leveraging everything we can. We use the high-tech capability here, but we also have people on horseback.
Search teams from all over the state were headed toward the debris field by the end of that first day. But Colley says they weren't the ones who found the first pieces of debris. Fishermen and hunters out in the mountains heard the sonic booms and saw the shuttle pieces fall around them. Fortunately, many of those fishermen and hunters were carrying global positioning devices at the time, which made it possible to report exactly where the pieces of wreckage hit.
You know, in fact, one of the stories out of this was on Toledo Bend that morning. There were a lot of fishermen, and so they have GPS on their boats to, you know, to go about the process of trying to find out where the fish are, you know. And so they were very good about, as some of this debris fell into Toledo Bend, going and marking it with GPS. That's really made a difference. It's helped us out a lot.
GPS devices can calculate exactly where they are by taking signals in from orbiting GPS satellites. These devices locate objects with extreme precision. And in East Texas, they're used routinely by surveyors, cattlemen, loggers, hunters, fishermen, and others. Emergency response teams are routinely trained to use them. A regional university is known as a hub for GPS research. Colley says this head start may have saved some lives by keeping toxic wreckage safe from passersby. He also says he's grateful these devices are so easy to obtain these days.
5-6 years ago, it would cost you literally thousands of dollars for one of these devices, and it would have been very large. Now you can go to Walmart and buy one for $150.
By midday, Colley says he was sending out search teams equipped with more GPS units to recover the debris and to search for the remains of the astronauts. He says wreckage finds were charted on maps of the region. Several hundred finds were marked on the first day. In this very narrow sense, he feels lucky.
Success is hard to talk about in such a tragic event, but the ability to identify this area has been a big challenge, and this technology has been absolutely essential to what we're doing.
As the marks on these maps became more numerous, patterns began emerging, and Colley started sending teams to comb through the gaps in the debris field. Seeing the patterns helped him figure out where search teams might find more wreckage. He also knew the patterns could prove crucial to the long-term search for the cause of the disaster.
There's three phases to this unfortunate incident. One, of course, is the effort to retrieve the remains of the crew. And the second part is to remove the debris from the area. And the third thing is to support the ongoing determination of what happened. Those three elements all have a commonality, and that is to know exactly where things were when they hit the ground.
While Colley manages the day-to-day efforts on the ground, an effort to build the bigger picture of what happened to the Columbia has started at the Center for Space Research at the University of Texas at Austin.
When I found out what had happened, I immediately went over to the television set, and I could see from the pattern on the orbit map that the orbiter was destroyed.
Gordon Wells is a mapping specialist. When the shuttle crashed, he left his breakfast and dashed to the office where NASA was waiting on the phone. He hasn't slept much since. Wells' expertise is mapping data and photographs from satellites orbiting the Earth. Working with the GPS readings coming in from Colley's command center, Wells began charting the debris field. He says it's a lot like mapping a crime scene.
You have a 30,000 square mile forensic analysis that you need to do. You need to pin down those locations and protect them, because all of that is evidentiary to the investigations that will be conducted in the future.
Wells says the satellite photos of the area where the shuttle parts fell are extremely accurate, even though they were taken from 50 miles up. To prove that point, he unrolls one of the latest photographic maps onto a table in front of us.
This is imagery from the Spot 5 French satellite, which is 2.5 meter ground resolution. And the nose cone was found just in this area near Hemp Hill.
Wells adds information to photographs like these: soil and vegetation types, water levels, and wind currents. This makes it possible for investigators to use the multi-layered maps to make predictions. They can find out where pieces of wreckage are likely to have landed, on the ground, burrowed into the ground, in the woods, or splashed in the water. Wells sends his multi-layered maps to computer specialists at NASA, who will soon begin combining them with reams of other data from the shuttle's final moments: the flight pattern, the angle of the orbit, and the speed, for starters. He says the goal is to rewind the tape of this catastrophe in ways that will help the specialist figure out which pieces fell off the shuttle first by retracing the arc of their descent to the ground.
They'll be able to use the telemetry from sensors that were transponding information to the surface and then failing. They'll be able to use other imagery and photography done during the reentry and descent. And then they can connect these absolute point locations on the Earth's surface where that particular piece landed and reconstruct that trajectory back up to the orbiter as it was as a whole.
If this effort is successful, NASA will be able to simulate countless accident scenarios until they come up with a series of events that precisely matches all of the data collected during the real catastrophe. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.